The first lesson, which will serve as our sermon text this morning from Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people came running toward them in utter amazement in the area called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why are you staring at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and disowned in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus that has strengthened this man whom you see and know. This faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just like your leaders, but in this way God fulfilled what he had foretold through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Therefore, repent and return to have your sins wiped out, so that refreshing times may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Amen. There are certain trades that live on in infamy. I remember one growing up, my classmate in eighth grade, we were playing with Pokemon cards, and we saw the kid down the street had much better Pokemon cards. And so my classmate took his normal, common, cheap ones and walked down to this kid who had the shiny, rare, expensive ones. And he said, "Let's trade." And he swindled them. And he got all the good cards for all the bad cards, a trade that lives on in infamy. Don't worry, parents got involved. They all got traded back. A personal trade that lives on in infamy. A year or so ago, we traded in our van. The transmission was going. So we traded for a newer van. And the transmission promptly went out on the newer van. Gah! And that's one of those trades where the ignorance costs you, right? There's no way we could have known that that van's transmission was about to go out. If we knew, we wouldn't have made the trade. It costs you when you're ignorant about what's going to happen in a trade. Maybe the most egregious trade example, if you're a sports fan, where people didn't know how this was going to turn out, so they made a terrible trade, is the Dallas Cowboys had a good running back named Herschel Walker. They made songs about this trade, and they made him available, and the Minnesota Vikings thought, "We are one running back away from a Super Bowl." Huh? Sorry. And so the Vikings said, "Okay, we'll give you 1, 2, 3 first-round picks, 1, 2, 3 second-round picks, and some players, all for this one running back. This is what we need." And the Cowboys said, "Okay." If only the Vikings had known how that was going to turn out. Because they got one 1,000-yard rushing season out of Walker and no Super Bowls. And the result of that trade for the Cowboys was effectively 3 Hall of Fame players and 3 Super Bowls. Oof. If they had known, they wouldn't have made the trade. It's sports, or it's a van, or it's Pokemon cards. Not that important. But it does matter a lot when you make spiritual trades, and you're ignorant about what the results are going to be. And we make spiritual trades all the time, every day. And Peter was talking to a group of people in Jerusalem who had made probably the worst spiritual trade of all time, a trade that lives on in infamy. Jesus for Barabbas. Jesus, the Savior of the world, for a murderer. And so today we hear Peter talk to them. He says, trade your ignorance for knowledge. That was a trade that was never going to work out. And in exchange, he gives them the knowledge of spiritual trades that you should make, the spiritual trade that always works out. First off, Peter explains, this is a trade that was never going to work out for you. We read in Acts chapter 3, when Peter saw this, that is an entire crowd gathering, he addressed the people. And what had just happened? Well, it said, the man held on to Peter and John. Who is this man? Well, we heard in the gospel, Jesus said that he was going to send out his disciples with power. The Holy Spirit was going to come to them. They were going to preach this message of repentance. And the Holy Spirit was with Peter now. The resurrection had happened, Pentecost had happened, and Peter was walking into the temple, and as he was, prompted by his faith in Jesus, he saw this man sitting at the gate called Beautiful, and it was a man who had never walked. The man was begging, please give me some money. Everybody knew this guy. They always walked past him. They always saw him asking for money, and Peter looks at him and he says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the man did not get up and walk. He got up and danced. He got up and jumped. He was running around the temple courts with legs that worked for the first time, perfectly healed, praising God. And he wound up back with Peter and John holding their hands. You've done this for me. And the crowd gathered, as you might expect. They all knew him. They all had seen him. And now he was running around. This is impossible. They can't believe their eyes. They're amazed. And so they all gather around in Solomon's colonnade, a little porch next to the temple where the disciples would be gathering for a while. And they stare at Peter and John. How did this happen? And Peter says, oh, it wasn't me. Remember that trade you made? Remember when you got tired of Jesus? You wanted to get rid of him? You wanted to trade him away? You thought that was going to be a win for you? Well, this is just one of the many spiritual Super Bowls that God is winning off that trade. What did Peter say? When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why are you staring at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and disowned in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus that has strengthened this man whom you see and know. This faith that comes through Jesus has given him perfect health in the presence of all of you. What a trade. Peter says, remember this? You tried to disown him. Pilate wanted to free him. The holy and righteous one. Everybody knew he was innocent. You traded the holy and righteous one for a murderer. You killed the author of life and took someone who takes life instead. So Peter's telling them, you know this was never going to work out, right? He explains who they made the trade with, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's used to this. He's used to people trying to swindle him, trying to trade away the promise of God, trade away the Messiah. Oh yeah, all through the time of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond. Remember Jacob's 12 sons? 10 of them hated Joseph. They traded him away. Get rid of him. And how did God work that trade out? Oh, he did a little thing like save the whole world through Joseph, who came to power in Egypt and kept the promise of Jesus alive. No, you can't swindle God. He wins the trade every time. And if you try to trade away Jesus, God's just going to use it to glorify him. If you try to disown Jesus, Jesus is just going to come back as Lord and show that he's still in charge and he's still winning no matter how much you try to trade him away. Peter says, look at this man. He couldn't walk and now he can. You can't ignore it. That's by the power of Jesus. The trade never works out. That's the message Peter was sharing. It's a message that we share, and it's a message that we also need to review. In a minute, Peter's going to tell them, I know you didn't know what you were doing, but sometimes we knowingly make this trade. It's even worse. Who is sharing this message? It was Peter. Peter knew Jesus. He knew his miracles. And Peter still, on the night Jesus was dying for him, tried to trade Jesus away in order to save his own life, right? And how did that work out for Peter? Well, you got what you wanted, Peter. You can live. Jesus is traded away. And what happened? He went outside and wept bitterly. That's what happens when you try to trade away Jesus. It doesn't work out for you. It ruins things. We're not ignorant of that. Jesus teaches us that. It's still hard. We try to make this trade sometimes. We say, okay, I'm not going to trade all of Jesus away. I'll just trade a couple of his words away. I know he wants me to do this, but I want to do that. Okay, I'll trade Jesus away for now, and I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to lose my temper. I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to leave my spouse. I want to do that, even though I know what Jesus wants me to do. I'm going to do that. How do you think that's going to work out? You think you're going to win that trade? When you try to trade away Jesus, it never works out. When you trade away the author of life, you're inviting death. When you trade away the holy and righteous one, who do you bring into your life? A murderer. Not Barabbas, but the devil himself. The father of lies, the original murderer. You think it's going to work out to bring him into your life? No. We're not ignorant of that. We come to repent and we say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And we share that message with others too. Because we say this trade never works out. Trading away the author of life doesn't work. Why? Because he's the author of life. You know what Jesus does when you try to trade him away? When you try to kill him? He just keeps writing. He's a very good author. What happened when they killed him? He turned his death into the prologue, and he continued with chapter 1, resurrection, and then with chapter 2, that message going out into all the world, and chapter 3, Jesus' life changing your life. That's the trade that actually always works. Jesus for you. What does Peter go on to say? He says, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just like your leaders. But in this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. They acted in ignorance. It said that that trade between the Vikings and the Cowboys, that when the facts came through and the Vikings said, we're going to give you these things, that the new owner of the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, that he ran across the room to the fax machine to accept the trade before they could change their mind. This is basically what God did when these people tried to reject Jesus and trade him away for a murderer, for a sinner. God ran across the universe and said, I'll take that trade. Yes, I love it. Because God knew what he was going to do with that trade. Yes, here, take Jesus, and I'll take your sin. How about that? Let Jesus die so a murderer can go free. That's exactly what I want. What did Peter say? Therefore, repent and return to have your sins wiped out, so that refreshing times may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you. God loves this trade. A murderer they save, the prince of life they slay. Yes. It's a good trade for us. Peter says, repent and return and have your sins wiped out. Wiped out, one of the strongest words for forgiveness in the Bible. We come to God and we say, look, I messed up again, and it wasn't even in ignorance. I did this knowingly. Please, can you take my sins? And God says, yes, I'll take that trade. Here, I'll take your sins and I'll give you Jesus. I'll take your death and I'll give you the author of life. Look at what he's going to write back into your life. Forgiveness, holiness, righteousness, perfection. You win. God loves this trade. What do we get? We get rid of all that bitterness and sorrow and stress that comes from trying to trade Jesus away. And what do we get? Repent and return to have your sins wiped out so that refreshing times may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, refreshing times. What was it like for Peter, who wept bitterly, to have his Savior come back to him and say, Peter, give me your sin. Here's my forgiveness. Go share my message. Oh, like mist on a hot summer day. And now Peter's offering this trade. And we are offering this trade. We are telling people, you know those sins, you know that fear, you know that bitterness, you know that selfishness, it's not going to work out for you. But how about this? Repent and return. Give your sins to God and have them wiped out. Trade your sins to God and be refreshed by the author of life. He knows how to bless your life and your eternity. Let him write your story. That's actually what he did for Barabbas. Well, maybe not the actual person. I don't know what happened to the criminal Barabbas, but I know what happened to the actor who played him in The Passion of the Christ. That actor, he was not allowed to see Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus. He wasn't allowed to look at him because the director, Mel Gibson, wanted his reaction in that scene to be authentic when he saw Jesus for the first time. Jesus, who was made up right with the crown of thorns, a black eye, blood all over him, blood from being whipped, standing there on trial. And so you see it in the movie when this actor, when Barabbas comes out, oh, and he looks like he's the worst, right? He's got one eye messed up. He's sticking out his tongue. He's more animal than human. He comes out and everybody's cheering for him. Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Oh, he loves that. Pilate says, what about Jesus? No, give us Barabbas. And so Pilate finally releases Barabbas. And you could see it. He's supposed to look at Jesus one time. He steps forward to be free, and he looks over at Jesus. And his smile disappears. And you see, if you watch the scene, he takes another step forward, and he looks back. And in that moment, that actor who had been an atheist became a Christian. He wrote a book about it. From Barabbas to Jesus, converted by a glance. There's God for you. Still winning spiritual Super Bowls off this trade 2,000 years later. What did he see when he looked at Jesus? Well, he didn't see the actor. He saw the message that God was giving to him. He saw a look of such love and mercy from someone who was willing to die in the place of a sinner, someone who loved that trade. I will give my life so you can go free. He was converted by the gospel. God wins that trade every time. He loves that trade. He's still making that trade. In our lives, all the time, give me your sin. Here's Jesus. That's the trade we are offering to the world. Trade out your ignorance with this knowledge, with the knowledge of Jesus, the one who is still making that trade today. Yes, the author of life who says, I'll give my life for you so that you can live. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.